Prayed on the Lord as we come around his word. Let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that you speak to our hearts about this very important area of biblical fellowship. And Lord, I ask that you give me the words to say, that I may bring forth accurate words. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Tonight we're looking at why biblical fellowship is necessary. Now it is a very sad thing that there are many people who used to be Christians, used to go along to church, used to fellowship. Fellowship, of course, means having relationship with God and the brethren. Your brothers and sisters. But now they think that they can be Christians and have no fellowship or very little. And it is a very sad thing because the devil has blinded them, and it also is a very rebellious position because it's a position whereby you have to ignore many scriptures. So I'm going to go through a few scriptures, and I'm sure you'll see by the end of tonight that it certainly is a biblical doctrine that we should be fellowshipping together and that there should be interaction between brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, the devil can blind people to think that all churches are so corrupt that, you know, there's no place that they can be, which is a lie. Let's have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll read a few verses out of 1 Corinthians 12. Now we know that this particular chapter does talk about the body of Christ. And when we understand about the body of Christ, we understand that there are many members in the body of Christ, and we are to work together, and that the head of the body is the Lord Jesus Christ. When we talk about body, it is a functioning organism, the church. And the body of Christ is another name for the church. And so we see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll start from verse 12, and we'll go to verse 14. It says, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." So we can see just from these scriptures that you can't say, "Oh, I'm just by myself," because you're part of the body of Christ if you've been born again. So if you're saved, then automatically God puts you into the body of Christ, and you're not just one member by yourself, you are with many members that make up that body. And so there is an interaction, and if you read through 1 Corinthians 12, you'll see that various parts of the human body are likened to the functions that they might have within the body. So in the body of Christ, we all have functions, but my function might not be completely the same as your function. Your function is not the same as someone else's. But when we put it all together, we all function as that body working together in Christ. Look also at verses 25 to 28. Verse 25 says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Let me just stop there. Notice it says the members should have the same care one for another. So it is needful that we are in the body so that each of the members can care for each other. Now you imagine someone who's outside of fellowship. How are they going to, first of all, be cared for? They certainly can't have me go and visit them, or anyone else in the church go and visit them, because they don't want that. But also, if you think about it, how can they also care for other people in the body of Christ? You see what I'm saying? In other words, it's impossible for them to fulfill this scripture. And that's why if a person goes out of fellowship, it becomes a very dangerous position, because they can slip right out of the Lord and his will. And Jesus said, if you become lukewarm, he'll spew you out of his mouth. In other words, out of the body. So we see here in verse 25 that there should be no schism in the body. Obviously, no splits or divisions. We should all be working together. But that the members should have the same care one for another. Verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honoured, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So it's very interesting that God hath set in the church. But how can you access what God has set into the church unless you are in the church? Can you see what I'm saying here? So it is important for us to be part of what is happening in the church, in the body of Christ, because there's all types of interactions. Verse 26 says, if one member suffers, that all the member suffer with it. In other words, there is a connection between us. There is that connection, and that can be developed as we show love one for another. We develop that love. And also, if one person be honoured, then all the members are honoured together with that. There's that connection. We're not jealous that person was honoured or received gifts or something like that. We're happy about it. We're happy that person's been blessed. We're happy that person got promoted in their job or they received some sort of gift into their life. We're happy about that. And so we should be people that have that interaction. And if we are, notice it says in verse 27, ye, that's ye plural, all of us, are the body of Christ and members in particular. And then it talks about what God hath set in the church. So if you want to be able to access what's in the church, you have to be in the church. Obviously, I can't preach to people that won't listen to me or won't make themselves available. I can't teach people that won't hear me or hear the Lord. Can you see what we're talking about here? Let's have a look at it a bit more. You see, our relationship when we come into Christ is now with Christ and his body. And this is a very important thing, that fellowship is all about relationship. We can see that in Acts chapter 2, verses 38 to 42. Acts 2, 38 to 42. And you'll see the word fellowship is used here. And clearly it shows that we now come into relationship. Relationship with one another and relationship with God. The important thing is that when you come into Christ, when you are born again, you're no longer part of the world. You're in the body of Christ, and you've been put into the body. You've been put into the body by God himself. You're in the family of God. You've been born again. So you've been born into the family of God. Okay? And if you're born into the family of God, you're just a little baby. Little babies in Christ are quite vulnerable. And what do they have to have? They have to have care, don't they? They have to have nourishment. They have to have love shown to them. And they have to be brought into the good things of God. They have to be fed with the Word of God and so on. And so if you look at Acts 2, starting from verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So you can see they had to come into relationship with Jesus Christ first of all, didn't they? Verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Notice what it said in verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now it's important to see this. They were born again, they were saved. You know, they received the word of God, they received the word that was preached. Obviously, the word that was preached was repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. So they did that, they repented and were baptized, as it says there, and they were added unto them. So those 3,000 souls were added into the church, into the body of Christ. They weren't just, oh, those 3,000 are born again, but we don't see them anywhere. They just go back into the world. No, that's not the case at all. They came into the church, and then notice what the next scripture says, next verse says, in verse 42. And they, what's that word? Continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Very, very important to see that word continued. They continued, well, they didn't continue just in nothing, they continued in the proper doctrine, which is teaching. They continued in the biblical doctrine. And they continued in fellowship, in other words, getting together in relationship with others in the church, in the body of Christ. And notice, they continued in breaking of bread. Now, if you're outside of church fellowship, how can you come together with others, brothers and sisters, and celebrate the Lord's Supper? Well, you can't, can you? And yet that Jesus said, do this as oft as you remember me. You know, it's important that we celebrate what the Lord Jesus has done in his death and resurrection. And we are commanded to break bread regularly like that. And notice it also says, and in prayers. They continued in prayers. And let's talk about corporate prayers in this case. So they're all praying together. That's a powerful form of prayer, praying together. Praying together. Very important that we see that when those 3,000 souls, when those 3,000 people were added to them, they then continued. And that continuing went right through their Christian walk. They didn't just continue for one or two days. They continued steadfastly. And steadfastly means, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep on going, no matter what. I'm going to keep on going. You know, there's some people that get offended and they say, oh, I'm not going to go to church anymore. But see, that's disobeying the Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And very clearly, Jesus loved the church. He gave himself for it. And here we see that we are to continue steadfastly. Have a look at Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. So we see that biblical fellowship is necessary because we have to grow. We have to grow in the Lord. We have to grow up in Him. We have to grow in faith. We have to grow in strength. We can't remain as little babies. And yet there's some that have gone out of church and they've fallen right away, and they come into the curse. They come into great sections of the curse. They can't fight against it because they know nothing about how to do so, and so they come into a very, very bad position. Philippians chapter 1, and look at verses 1 and 2. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at what? Philippi. So here he's talking to a group of people who are at a particular location. It says, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll have to ask ourselves, who did Paul write the letters or the epistles to? He wasn't just writing it to the general body of Christ. He was writing it to groups of saints, and you can see very similar salutations each time he wrote his letters. He was writing to groups of saints that were in particular locations. So in other words, they got the letter and they were reading it out. And of course, we know that the letters have become and are the part of the Word of God, and we read them out even today. So it's important for us to see that the reading out of the Word of God, the feeding of the Word of God to the flock of God, it doesn't happen by chance, random processes. It happens by people getting together, by the fellowship of the saints. And you see here the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. So you can see there were also ministers that were helping and feeding and edifying the body of Christ as well. So we have to see this in the right way. And even if someone does offend you in church, you've got to be ready to forgive. You realise that? That's a commandment from God. You've got to be ready to love, to forgive, and to say, well, I'm looking to God anyway. Now, God indeed wants us to be in the right place. He wants us to be planted in the right place. And, for example, all of us here, we know we've been planted in this local assembly here. And that's the way we can be fed and grow. And there's others that'll have exactly the same desire to come in and to be planted right here because God puts that desire into their hearts. And he does that with other congregations all around. God doesn't say, well, you know, you're born again and you're not going to be planted anywhere. No, he wants you to be fed. He wants people to be fed. He wants people to hear the word of God. Just as Paul was writing to the Philippians, he had some very important things to say to them. In fact, God had very important things to say to them. And the book of Philippians is one which we hear read in the churches today. Praise the Lord. Look at Hebrews 10. We'll look at verses 23 to 25. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. Biblical fellowship is necessary because this is where you can get exhortation. This is where you can get a direction put into your life. And that direction comes as the Spirit of God works through his people, works through the body of Christ. Hebrews 10, starting from verse 23, and we'll go to verse 25. 23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Let me just work through those verses there, and you'll see very clearly that if you're out of fellowship, you cannot have this happening to you. Verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." In other words, you've got to continue in your faith. You've got to hold fast. And there's a way to do that. Verse 24 says, "Let us consider one another." See, I can't consider you and you can't consider me unless I have relationship with you, unless I actually see you, meet up with you, talk with you, get to know you. Is able to show love to you. If you want to avoid being with me or avoid being with your brothers and sisters, if indeed they are, then there's something really wrong. Because how can we obey this verse, verse 24, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works"? How can you obey that unless you're available for that to happen? You can't, can you? And verse 25 tells us the problem, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." This is a commandment. We should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We can't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We must assemble together. And notice what happens when we assemble together. It says, "but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." You see, we need exhortation. We need building up. We need the Word of God. We need the brothers and sisters to say, this is the way. This will do you good. You know, think along these lines. In other words, show us and build us up and help us continue to do the right thing. Because there's many, many others that are outside of the will of God that you don't want to be listening to. You want to listen to people that are hooked into the Word of God, are hooked into listening to the Spirit of God. You want to listen to people who have a bit of understanding. The Bible says that if you're around, if you're a companion of wise men, you'll be wise. But if you're a companion of fools, you'll be destroyed. So you want to be around people that are going to provoke you to love and to good works. They're going to say, this is the way, this is the right thing to do. They're going to exhort you and say, you can do it in the Lord. You can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. You don't want people pulling you down. You don't want people saying to you, oh, the church has nothing to offer. You know, and then they get into unbelief about the Bible and they say, oh, the Bible's got faults in it and all that type of thing. You don't want that type of thing. What you want are people that believe the Word from cover to cover, from verse to verse, and that exhort you and say, this is the right way to go. And this is what we see when you come into a Bible-believing church in fellowship with brothers and sisters that actually believe the Word of God, that actually show love one to another. Have a look at 1 John 3, verses 14 to 18. Now, this section of Scripture shows that if you're outside of fellowship, you cannot fulfill these verses. And yet, these are commands. These are commandments to the body of Christ. 1 John 3, verses 14 to 18. Verse 14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the, what? The brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth off his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now the Lord's been speaking to me quite a lot of late about loving the brethren, and that the brethren should be loving one another and showing love to one another. And we see here that if you've passed from death to life, one of the characteristics is that you'll have love for the brethren. You'll love your brothers and sisters. There'll be love in you for those who are part of the body of Christ. And yet one of the major things I've found, and I've met up with many, many who have backslidden over the years, one of the major things is that they'll be highly critical of people that they used to call brothers and sisters, and highly critical of the brethren. And if you try to say, well, you know, you should forgive them, they won't have anything to do with that. What they have to have, though, is repentance, isn't it? They need to repent. They need to say, Lord, I repent, and I'm sorry for what I've done and what I've said against your people. And I want to come back into fellowship with you and fellowship with your people. You see, to love the brethren, you have to be around the brethren. To show love to your brothers and sisters, you actually have to be with your brothers and sisters. It's pretty simple, isn't it? It's simple. But if you turn your back on your brothers and sisters and want nothing to do with them, then you'll quickly and very quickly come out of even salvation if you keep on going that way. You'll be spewed out of the body of Christ. Now this is very important that people grab hold of this and say, well, I really don't want to be in that position. And you know, even if the Lord has told you, well, don't be in that church, He'll lead you into some other place. So it's important to be in fellowship and to be in the right place, because as you are in that place, the Lord can feed you, can build you up, and you can help your brothers and sisters, and you can show love to the brethren, and they can show love to you. As we read before, care one for another. We show care one for another. This cannot happen if you're out of biblical fellowship. And this is why it's so necessary to have biblical fellowship. Look at 1 Peter 4, verse 8. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. I pray that tonight you're seeing that if you have relationship with Christ, you'll also have relationship with the body of Christ, with the members of the body of Christ as well. You'll have relationship with the members that are part of the church. You won't be separate from that. You'll be separate, of course, from the world and unbelievers, but you're joined into the body of Christ, and everything that's in the church, in the body of Christ, you'll be able to enjoy and be part of that blessing that the Lord has put into it. And if you see in 1 Peter 4, verse 8, notice what it says here, and above all things, notice what it says there, above all things. Let me say that again, above all things. Must be pretty important. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. What's charity? You should know it by now. The biblical definition of charity is love in action. Love in action, not just words coming out of your mouth, but love in action. And notice it says fervent charity. Fervent talks about being zealous from the heart, having a heartfelt charity, love in action. So you're not just doing it because you've had your arm twisted behind your back. You're doing it because you do actually love the brethren. You do actually love the church and the people in the church. You love the body of Christ. You love Christ. And you want to do, out of your heart, you want to do things of charity for them. Charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Well, obviously, you know, if you're walking in love, you're not going to be keeping things against other people. There'll be a forgiveness in you. Now, of course, those that do the wrong thing also must adjust and change and repent. And that's where the part of the exhortation comes into, isn't it? Because you'll hear things like, you need to get yourself right. You need to repent and get that right in your life if you want things to go well for you, and so on. So it's important to see, above all things, we're to have fervent charity among ourselves. Above all things. Do you think God sees it as very important? How can, and this is the big question, how can people have fervent charity? How can people do that above all things if they're out of fellowship? They can't, can they? They can't. In fact, they're in a very selfish position. They're thinking more of themselves and their own lives rather than the brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. You know, there really, it's important to see that love is part of a sacrificial lifestyle. You know, when you walk in love, you're not just thinking about yourself, are you? You're thinking about others. You're thinking about the Lord. And you're thinking about what is best for others, what is best for the body of Christ, what is best for the church. Look at Acts 20. We'll go through a few verses in Acts 20, verses 17 and 18, first of all. Acts 20, 17 and 18. Now, Paul had some very important words to say to some elders here in Acts 20, verses 17 and 18. Let's talk about Paul here in verse 17 of Acts 20. And from Miletus, he, that's Paul, sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Well, let me just stop there. Did the elders of the church exist? Was there a church for there to be elders in? Yes, for sure. So obviously, he called for the elders of the church that was at Ephesus. They existed. The church at Ephesus existed. In other words, there were a group of people who made up the church at Ephesus, and there were elders at the church of Ephesus. And so is he talking to the local church here? He is, isn't he? He's talking to the local church. Very important for us to see that. Verse 18, and when they were come to him, so that's physical elders came to him, all right, people that he could have relationship with, that he could talk to, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. So had he been with them for quite a while? He had. He had been with them for quite a while. He talked with them. He taught them. He'd brought them up in the ways of the Lord. So we see that he had some relationship with physical elders of the church, not some airy-fairy, oh yes, I'm part of the body of Christ. What is the body of Christ? Well, the body of Christ is just anyone that says they're a Christian. Well, no. The body of Christ is made up of literal people that are in fellowship, that are saying, yes, I'm part of the church because I'm in Christ and I'm walking according to God's ways. Look also across in Acts 20, across to verses 28 to 32. And this is some of the things that he said to the elders of the church. Verse 28, he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves. He's talking to the elders, isn't he? And all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now there's some very, very important things here. Very important things for us to get hold of. First of all, he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves. In other words, the elders had to make sure that they were right before the Lord and took heed. In other words, listen to the Lord, listen to what he had to say, made sure that they were kept pure, all right, and to all the flock. Now, you cannot minister to a flock that isn't physically there. Can you see what I'm saying? So a person that's out of fellowship, I can't minister to them because they're not part of the flock. They're not there. They're not available to be ministered to. And so they're not getting any benefit, are they? Because where are they? They call themselves a Christian, but they're not even here or at any congregation. It's a great tragedy because it says that it wasn't man that made them overseers, it was the Holy Ghost that made these elders overseers. And you've got to see the ministry in the right way. You can't just say, oh, that's man-made. You've got to see, well, you know, even though they might not be perfect people, the Holy Ghost has put them there, and he's done it for a purpose. The Holy Ghost has made them overseers to feed the church of God. To feed the church. What are the elders of the church here feeding the church with? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So we know that they're feeding them the word of God. They're nourishing them with the word of God. Praise the Lord. And this next part in verse 28 is very, very important. To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Does God see the church as important? Indeed he does. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So Jesus is very intimately connected to the church. And here we're talking about a local church. So we have to see that this is a very important thing, that if people are in biblical fellowship, then they're going to be fed. They're going to be helped. They're going to be strengthened. And they're going to grow. Verse 29, there's a purpose for them to be fed and strengthened. Verse 29, this is a prophecy that Paul came out with. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone day and night with tears. So Here were people that were being warned day and night by Paul about what was going to come, what was going to happen. You see, if you're outside of biblical fellowship, you'll miss out on those warnings and you'll get devoured. The curse will come in, there'll be all types of problems that will happen. But you know, one of the things for the warning there is so that they can deal with these things. If wolves come in, they can deal with that. You know, they can stop that. If someone that was a wolf came in here, we should be able to stop that. Not just let them devour. Can you see what I'm saying? Verse 32, and now, what's that word? Brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So you can see that the word of God's grace, which is able to build you up, was being fed to the church, and it was specifically the local church there. He's talking to the brethren, he's talking to the elders here. And I want you to really get into your heart and mind here that it's God who is building the church, God who has established it from the beginning, established the church. And we're talking about the church as a whole and the local congregations as a whole, as the Lord has led. I want to just finish with Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 16. I'll just read through this in Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. And in this we see that we have to be built up. The Lord has placed in his church ministries, and he wants the saints of God to also be part of ministering one to another. Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 16. I'll just read through this. And he, talking about Jesus, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Let me just stop there for a minute. Not every church congregation is going to have apostles, prophets, evangelists. Okay? What he's saying there is that to the body of Christ, this is what he's given. And it'll be outworked through the churches. Verse 12 tells us why. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may what? Grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, that's the body of Christ, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. There's a lot in there. We don't have time to go into it tonight. But God wants his body to grow up, to be edified. He's put various ministries in the body for the perfecting of the saints. We would do well not to neglect the body of Christ, not to neglect what God has put in place. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you and uplift you, Lord. You are our Lord. You are our God. We thank you for putting us together, even in this church. And Lord, we thank you that you're feeding us and you're helping us to grow up in the body of Christ. Help every person here, Lord, and we pray for those who you're leading into this body, into this part of your body, into this church. We pray for those that, Lord, you would speak to them, that they would fit completely and accurately and well in the name of Jesus. Amen.